Abba, did you change again?
No.
Oh.
I thought he did too.
Well, you've changed five times already.
I went to the little boys' room.
Well, I'm just making sure.
I'm just trying to stay.
You changed like 20 times already.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay comfortable. Huh? Ooh, you know what I'm saying?
To each his own.
Yeah, what do you got, Eddie?
They hooked it up.
Taco Bell hooking us up?
Tacos?
Don't mind me.
Hang on, Eddie.
Get off me.
Tacos, burrito supremes. Nachos, Belgrande,
yes.
What else was over there? All kinds of crap.
Dude, I love Taco Bell so much, as you can probably tell.
You're listening to the 28-hour show. We started 6 o'clock this morning. We're going to be on the air until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Oh, my.
I love it. I'm having a great time.
Eddie.
Okay.
Sean, I'm wide awake, buddy. Come on.
I will scratch your nether so fast.
I may like it.
Oh, God.
Scratch away.
Hey, baby. Eddie, what time do you usually...
Sorry. Oh, that's gross.
Hey, by the way, we do encourage people from the radio station to stop in and say hello.
Oh, yeah.
And that means everybody. People in the sales department.
Except Russell.
Russell, what are you talking about? He's the best.
People in the sales department, people in our programming department, people in our promotions department, people on the on-air staff, people at the front desk, people everywhere in the building. We all, you know, you can buy any, by all means, stop in and say hello.
Here's Scott Puffin.
You want some sauce, too?
I got it.
Let's see. Stupid. What do we got?
Do you use the fire sauce? Who are you?
Cool.
Obviously not. Everybody knows the mild sauce is the best.
Mild. You are gay.
It is. I'm just being honest.
You're gay.
Now we got to check. Oh, God damn it.
So, Mike, just to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
The hypnotist is hypnotizing Bobby Kernels right now.
Oh, they are doing that right now?
Yeah, he's putting them under.
Is there anything that doesn't have cancerous tomatoes in it?
Are we going to do something specific with him when he comes in? Like, what kind of stuff should we do?
Well, the thing we had discussed is he's going to hypnotize, you know, put him under.
Uh-huh.
So it's power of suggestion.
Right.
So we're going to have Bobby act like each member of the show.
Oh. That's
that
funny.
Will be awesome. I can't wait to see what he'll do when he imitates his friend Ashley.
Uh-oh.
His buddy Ashley.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay. Ashley looks cute. Ashley, you didn't do the normal look that you've been doing with your hair. You, like, did it nice. Why'd you do that?
She blow-dried it straight.
Well, Mikey. The reason why.
Why is that?
Why are you leaning on top of Sky?
She touched my boob, Mike.
Did she touch your boob?
Yes.
I didn't touch her boob.
My boobs, girl. Go back to your home. Go back to your home. Damn it.
Oh, it's funny.
Touching my goodies. Tell you what.
What is this? Give me an update on the iTunes video downloads, because I got the new iTunes, and I got a few videos on my iPod.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Keen.
What?
I love that, man. Do you know that music?
Ah, Fudger.
Now, that's...
Sorry. Eddie just put a very cold soda on my back.
That was good stuff.
Sky, do you know the music of Keen?
Yeah.
Real gay.
I think they were on the OC once.
Yeah, and they're real gay. And I don't know if they're actually homosexual. I'm just saying the music...
I think they played the bait shop.
It has a very gay sound to it. Let me play some of it for you. Where do we know? They don't have the good stuff. How can they only have 3 songs by them in there?
So well, it depends what the stations in this building play.
Oh, that sucks.
Obviously, some stations play the gay stuff, according to Mikey.
Well, I'm not going to play this stuff that they have.
All right. So you want the update from iTunes?
Yeah, how much have they sold in these videos?
Well, they say since they debuted that you can have the video iPod and you can download music videos as well as episodes of the show Lost and Desperate Housewives.
Yep.
They say in the first 20 days of that, they sold 1 million video downloads. In 20 days, 1 million video downloads.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
I'm buying them.
Yeah, you are.
I love them.
You're getting Keen videos.
Yeah, that's right.
It's awesome.
For people that are listening to the Mikey Show for the first time, maybe, I'm going to let you hear what the Mikey Show does. We have a couple of characters that we call Tyrone and Tortilla. All right, that is the sound of the Tyrone and Tortilla Show. Now, that is our alter egos. I am a black man in Tyrone and Tortilla.
I am a Latino.
Yes.
A tortilla.
And what we do is we get these people that call up and they want to be interviewed, and we do like a reverse practical joke on them because they're calling us instead of us calling them. And they think that they're on a real show, but they're not. They're getting us playing the roles of Tyrone and Tortilla. And we jack with them. And we paint them to be racist when they're really not. And this one's great. Like, this guy, this is like almost the most perfect situation to be able to do this. This guy's name is Stephen Mordell. He's holding on the line. He can't hear us right now. So what is this guy, Eddie?
He's written a book about how NASCAR is like integrating into America. It's not like a redneck sport anymore.
Right. Which is awesome. Because, I mean, that's the perfect victim for Tyrone and Tortilla. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Hello, is this Stephen Mordell?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Stephen, thank you for coming on the show. My name is Tyrone.
Mi amo Tortilla.
And that means my name's Tortilla, and together we are the Tyrone and Tortilla Show. Welcome to the program.
Check it out,
thank
man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, now listen, this man has written a book called The Changing Face of NASCAR. How Middle America Became Stock Car Fans.
That's right.
And now, let me ask you, Stephen Mordell, what makes you such a friggin' expert on NASCAR?
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of NASCAR. And second of all, I tend to look at NASCAR in a different way than most people.
Yeah. Now, is it true that the only black race car driver in NASCAR was a man by the name of Willie T. Ribbs?
Yes, that is in fact true, except he was a racer in the truck series.
Now, was that some sort of racist name dreamed up by Whitey? I mean, well, where was Boxcar Bobby Big Lips? Was he ever in any of those series? What about Willie T. Watermelon, Shoeshine Leroy Smith? How come, why he be called Willie T. Ribs? I mean,
that's Manny Jumpy Bean.
Yeah, that's rude.
Well, that was his actual name. I mean, I understand what you're getting at, but
Steven Burrito.
Yeah. How come they don't have, Tortilla wants to know, what about Steven Burrito? That's just racist.
Yes, that would be racist, but that was in fact his true name.
Uh-huh. Now listen, you know how at the dog races, the greyhounds all chase a mechanical bunny around the track?
Yes.
Is it true when NASCAR first started out, the drivers chased a mechanical black man in overalls?
No, that is not true at all, and please do not be...
You're saying that is not true?
That is not true.
No, okay, all right. Well, I stand corrected.
Doctor!
Go ahead, Tortilla.
I heard you said there are no Mexican drivers in NASCAR because they can't fit their entire families in those kind of cars. Why would you say that?
Did I say this in my book?
Yeah!
Absolutely not.
You're a racist.
I thought you did. Now, let me ask you. We're talking to Stephen Mordell, expert on NASCAR. He says it's not just a redneck sport anymore. He says everybody be watching NASCAR.
Well, that's right. Hey. Actually, there's a great cross-section of America right now that appreciates NASCAR as being cross-cultural.
Let me ask you, Stephen Mordell. I know some of the NASCAR sponsors. What do you got, Tortilla? Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
You got your...
Viagra.
Yeah, Coors Light. Viagra, you got, what's the name of the beer, the other beer? You got Busch Beer as the sponsors. When you gonna have the Colt 45 Ford or the Cavassier Chevrolet integrate more black things in? How come there ain't no Jerry Curl Mobile out there? How come there isn't more black sponsors?
Yeah, that may have been true before, but NASCAR now accepts all kinds of drivers.
I haven't seen no Kentucky Fried Chicken Dodge.
Well, you may be.
The Jose Cuervo Ford.
Yeah, Tortilla. See? Tortilla gets it. Hey, is it true that NASCAR actually stands for Negroes are steering clear of auto racing?
That is not true.
That's not true?
No.
Hey, Vato.
Go ahead.
Why aren't there more Mexicans in the pits? We can take tires off of cars faster than you crackers.
Yeah. That's what Tortilla said.
Well, there is people of every race in the pits. And, you know, for the reason that they're good at what they do, everybody has a special skill. And that's what makes the pit crews, you know, as talented as they are.
We're talking to Stephen Mordell. He's the author of The Changing Face of NASCAR, How Middle America Became Stock Car Fans. Now, let me ask you, why is it that on the black and white checkered flag, there's more white checkers than black checkers? Hmm?
Good point.
Jack
Blackhater?
True.
Yeah, there is. I counted. I have a question.
Yes?
How is one able to maneuver tight corners while peering through a pillowcase with two holes cut in it? You should know, Dr. Houseboy.
Well, nobody is allowed to wear a pillowcase while driving, and I don't think that anybody would, even if they were.
Hey, Professor Carr.
Go ahead, Tortill.
I once drove in a NASCAR race.
Really?
Or maybe I was chasing down somebody in my apartment parking lot. I can't remember. I was too methed out.
Yeah, Tortilla says he was too methed out. We're talking to a guy who knows about NASCAR on the telephone. Hey, let me ask you. When you're changing your oil, how do you avoid getting all those grease stains all over those nice white sheets? Hello? Thank you.
Tortilla?
Hey, Tom.
Go ahead. No, his name's Stephen.
Oh, it is.
Stephen Mordell, NASCAR man.
Tom.
Go ahead.
Want to know what Dale Earnhardt says about race relations in your sport?
I probably
Nothing,
already
he's
know.
Dead.
But
yeah, come on. He hit the wall, dude. He ain't alive. Okay, hello. Hey, when driving, how do you keep your hands at 10 and 2? Or do you prefer to hang them high? That's a joke, like, you know, a lynching joke.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Good one.
Anyway, Tom. Sorry, Stephen Mordell. Are you still there?
Oh, yes, I'm still
How
there.
Is it even possible?
What?
Let me ask you, Tortilla. I ask you something?
Sure.
How do these people end up staying on the phone?
They like us.
Yeah. I mean, the man clearly been insulted. Is it because you're just trying to sell your book at any cost, Stephen Mordell?
Sellout.
Yeah, you're a sellout.
Typical whitey.
No, but I would like to dispel any inaccuracies that might be stated about my book. So I understand.
I understand. Well, thank you, Stephen Mordell, for coming on the air. You've been boring. Hey, one more question before we let you go. What do you call a black person in NASCAR?
What do you call them?
A race car driver, you racist? What's your problem?
Like, Figure it out, man.
Yeah, like they're going to have a different name just because they in NASCAR? Please.
Thank you for having me.
Negro, please. All right, thank you, Dan.
Peace out, man.
Peace out.
There you go. Mm-hmm. How do you like that? Wow. People really responding to the racial humor today on the Mikey Show. Got an email that says, the subject line is black people. It says, hey, Mikey, please read this on the air. It's very important. I've heard everyone on the show refer to being black as a race. White, black, Asian, etc. are not races. They're ethnicities. You guys need to stop referring to these people as different races. Also on the same topic, it's not being racist. The proper term is ethnocentric.
Oh, didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, as an anthropology buff, should know that term and agree with it. Thank you.
Thanks,
well, thank
nerd.
You. Thank you. Thank you very much, Adam.
Yeah, I just received an email that says, what did you mean when you said, is there anything that doesn't have cancerous tomatoes?
We should explain that.
Sorry, John.
Let's explain that. Whenever Skye does not like a particular food, She refers to it as cancerous.
Obviously.
To her, all mustard is cancerous mustard.
Thank you.
And she refers to mustard as cancerous because she hates mustard.
Yes, as well as tomatoes.
She hates tomatoes and refers to them as cancerous tomatoes.
Yes.
That is just the way it goes.
There it is.
We got the Jarhead Consultant.
The Jarhead Consultant.
That's right. What up?
Yeah. We at war. We at war with terrorism.
On the line with us right now, a consultant on the new movie Jarhead. This is Sergeant Major, First Force Recon. He is retired. Is this Jim?
This is Jim. That's correct.
How are you, Jim? Nice to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Now, it is your daughter, I believe it is your daughter that is a listener of the show, right?
That's correct.
That's awesome. Well, you were a consultant on this new movie. And what is, first of all, how do they approach you? How do they find you to be a consultant on the movie? How did that work?
Well, what happens a lot of times from your previous movies, they would look for a consultant, a military consultant on your previous movies that you have worked on in the movie business.
What was the first one that you worked on?
The first
one? Yeah, the first movie that you ever worked on.
Was Wind Talkers. When I retired out of the Marine Corps, it was Wind Talkers with John Woo.
Right.
And then I went on from that one. Well, really, the Green Dragon was the independent with Forrest Whitaker and Patrick Swayze. It was about the Vietnamese refugees at Camp Pendleton.
Okay. And so when you are consulting a movie, I assume they fly you out there and you just sort of walk around with the director and let the director know when something's going on that is inaccurate, let him know how it would happen, that kind of thing?
Well, what happens is you start in pre-production. You meet with the director. The director has his schedule, what he wants to get done, and how he wants the actors to be. And you work with the wardrobe for the uniforms they'll be wearing. You work with props, make sure everything's correct on their gear, from helmet to their weapons. And you put them through a training evolution.
And so you're out there consulting with guys like Jamie Foxx and Jake Gyllenhaal.
That's correct. I put them through a four-day boot camp in Victorville.
Nice. What did you do?
Well, we had them, first of all, we had them live in tents. I put up GP tents, those are the general-purpose tents that the Marine Corps, we still, to this day, still live in. And it was nice, good cold weather, about 40-some degrees up there in the high desert. And every morning at 5:30, woke them up. Then we had PT, physical training, did exercises, running them around. We did it at the old Air Force Base, George Air Force Base.
Right.
And we conduct a drill.
And now, were they in shape? Were they in shape when they showed up?
Yes, a lot of the guys were in shape. They were working out and running prior to the boot camp. That's correct.
Right.
Who would have made the better soldier?
Would have made. They all did an outstanding job.
Oh,
I'm just going to tell you, Jamie Foxx, he was outstanding, and so was Jake and Peter. They all took charge. I made sure that Jamie Foxx's character plays a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he took charge of the running and the PT and the firing weapons, make sure that he would learn how to be a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps.
We're talking to Jim, who is a retired Sergeant Major, First Force Recon. And Jim, what in the previews of the movie, I've always wondered this. You know when Jamie Foxx in the previews of the movie says, oorah, what does that mean? Where did it come from? What does it mean? What is that?
Well, we always wonder where it came from, because I remember in the early 70s when I was in the Marine Corps, we were saying that, and everybody goes, where did it come from? It means a lot of things. It means I love something or I hate it. If I gave a command that says I want you to, go down there and pick up some weapons, you got to go, oorah, or he doesn't like it. It's just answering a question. It's a motivation or being upset.
All purpose.
All purpose.
P1 Art is on the line. Art, what do you want to ask?
Hey, this is P1 Art. I wanted to find out, I just got out of the Marine Corps, and you always look at these, movies and stuff with Marines, and you always, being in the military, you know right away that, something's wrong with their uniform. Is there some kind of rule that says, you can't make the uniform perfect?
No, there's no such rule of making the uniform perfect. Here's the biggest problem is what they have to get in supply. They have to buy them, they have to find them, depending what period, be it a period piece or a looking for certain items. If they can't find it, that's what they show up with. Or some of these movies don't have a military consultant on it.
Okay, because like if you watch the whatever the lawyer movie was with Tommy Lee Jones and Samuel, like you just look at their uniforms, you know they're off. And then we always, you know, in the Marine Corps, always like, oh yeah, you know, they probably just can't make it perfect because they're not real Marines. But I guess it's not true.
I guess they could if they wanted to. Then is what you're saying, Jim?
Yeah, you know, what I'm saying is that sometimes there's not a military consultant on the movie. Now, a lot of movies are made without a military consultant or advisor on it. So the wardrobe and props, they do the best. They do research, and they are on it. They really are. You wouldn't believe the wardrobe and the prop masters are always on. They do their research. Problem is finding equipment. And I know what you're talking about, ribbons and putting on badges also. A lot of people don't understand that. With the military advisor there, that is, it makes it their job easier how to put the ribbons on, making sure that the uniform is correct.
Jim, how long have you been retired?
I've been retired 7 years now.
So, were you when you were still in the military? Did you ever were you involved at all in the first Gulf War?
Yes, I was.
So you spent time in the Middle East.
Yes, 9 months of my life out there.
What were some of your experiences like there?
Well, just like we're going to out there, it was hot and cold during the time period I was out there. I was out there from December to get back in September. So it was a very miserable time out there, I can tell you that. It wasn't what I call fun.
Mm-hmm. And you're consulting a movie right now, the new Steven Spielberg movie called Flags of Our Fathers with Clint Eastwood.
That is correct.
What's that movie about?
That's about the flag raisers put the flag up at Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima.
Oh, there you go. Somebody on the line says that they have worked with you in the past. P1 Alex. He hung up. He had P1 Alex on, and he said he had worked with you on a TV show. And now he's off my screen, so I don't know which one. Jimmy, you're a fascinating guy. I appreciate you coming on. This movie looks good. I want to go see this movie, Jarhead, with Jamie Foxx and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, great. I'm telling you, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun working on that movie, and hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for coming on the air with us.
Hey, no problem at all. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you. That's retired Sergeant Major, First Force Recon. His name is Jim. And working on that new movie now with Steven Spielberg called Flags of Our Fathers.
Are you ready for Bobby Kernels?
Bobby Kernels has been hypnotized. We are going to bring him into the studio. Let's do that now. Yeah, let's go ahead and bring him in here. Now, how do I do this? I don't know how.
Well,
I mean,
it's the same thing. You know, like, remember when we had Michael Swenson in before?
Right.
He's got to talk to Bobby, you know.
Kind of get Bobby in the frame of mind.
In the frame of mind, all that stuff.
All right, so let's see. Let's go ahead and have Bobby Kernels
sit here.
Sit down.
Michael, sit here.
We'll have Michael sit down. Michael, welcome back to the Mikey Show.
Hey, Mikey. How you guys doing?
Good to see you. Good to see you. Now, what do we need to do in order to be able to get into this?
Well, what we're going to do, we already have him basically kind of under my spell, you could say.
Uh-huh.
And we're just going to do something real quick, put him back under, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Well, I'm going to come over here real quick. Bobby, how you doing?
Oh, wait.
All right, Bobby, I want you to take nice 3 deep breaths. There's one. Deeper. There's 2. And then take the deepest breath, hold it tight, and sleep. Bobby, all the way down. Relax.
Oh, look at that. Bobby just fell right to sleep.
Just allow yourself to relax in your chair.
His head fell now.
Stay right there or you will not fall out. Okay, I'm done.
That's it?
He's under.
Okay, so now what?
Well, you know, I thought we would do some things here. Since Thanksgiving is coming up, I thought we would regress him maybe back a few years and have him tell us... Actually, why don't we have him talk to Mr. Turkey? It'll be an imaginary turkey sitting in front of him on the... Let's do this. Bobby, in a moment, I'm going to waken you up on the count of 3, and in front of you sitting on the table is an invisible turkey.
Uh-huh.
And in a moment, you're going to waken up, and I want you to say hi to this turkey. His name is Mr. Turkey, so make sure you say hi to him. And I want you to explain to him what's going to be going on Thanksgiving coming up. Because he's not looking forward to it, and I want you to really explain what's going on. So on the count of 3, you're going to open your eyes, Bobby, and tell us what's going on with Mr. Turkey. 1, 2, 3.
Hey, Mr. Turkey. How you doing? Well, Thanksgiving's here again. And unfortunately, you know what that means. You and your buddies will be taking a long trip to the big house. And
big house. It's going to jail, apparently.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to, you know, we're going to have to, you know, let you go, basically.
Let you go.
Wait, firing the turkey?
Bobby, Mr. Turkey's not very happy. Why don't you cheer him up a little bit? Tell him something he has to look forward to.
Well, you know, he's going to be really good, for one.
What do you mean really good?
Well, I mean for eating. Oh, I didn't mean to.
Don't tell him that.
Yeah, that's kind of messed up.
He's got a lot to look forward to. We're going to dress him up real nice. And, you know, you're going to have a good time, really.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you're going to have a lot of fun.
Michael, can I ask him anything?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bobby, this is a kind of a sad time for Mr. Turkey.
That's what I was thinking.
Doesn't it make you kind of sad, man?
It does.
Why don't you explain to Mr. Turkey, you know, that these last few days he should really be enjoying himself.
Mr. Turkey,
Bobby, on the count of three, I want you to get real emotional. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know. I don't know if you have a family.
Take your time, bro.
Or loved ones at home.
Take your time, dude.
Back in the coop.
Mm-hmm.
But now would be a good time to tell them that you love them.
Oh.
As slow as you have to go, dude. Don't feel rushed. It's all right, bro.
It's...
I know.
It's a hard time
right
now.
It's a hard time, yeah. Dude.
We eat you for a good reason.
Oh.
And I hope you know how much we really appreciate you doing this. It's a sacrifice. And I'm sure people will be writing about you for years and years to come.
Years.
Tell me you love them, dude.
We'll be taking pictures. And I'm sure that people will really, really enjoy.
Tell me you love them, Bobby.
I love you, Mr. Turkey.
Oh, so nice.
It's really nice.
Really nice. Well, here, Bobby, sit back in your chair real quick. And take a nice deep breath. And just allow yourself to sleep. All the way down to your eyes.
There you go. Wow. He's sleeping. He's out.
Wonderful.
Like
you know, I got to do this. Bobby was telling me, does he tell good jokes around here at all?
Or no.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Okay, that works.
No.
Wonderful.
He's really bad at it, actually.
What's that?
He's really bad at it.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll work even better. Bobby, on the count of three, you are going to imagine that you are the world's greatest joke teller. But unfortunately, every time you get to the punchline, you'll have no idea what it is.
Hmm.
You just stop dead in your tracks. You have the greatest jokes. On the count of three, sit up. You have to get everyone's... You guys, I got to hear this. 1, 2, 3. What's up, Mr. Joke Teller?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Good.
What's up, bro?
Hey.
Now, you got some good jokes?
Mikey was telling me you are like the comedy guy around here.
Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he's funny, dude.
Funny.
He's funny. I
mean, the hallway. Yeah.
I didn't mean to embarrass you, bro.
No,
I didn't mean to embarrass you.
Cool.
I only told him. I didn't tell like everybody, but you know, just say you're a good joke teller.
I know we talk about it, you know, back in the office.
Yeah.
How good I am, but
well, like throw a couple on us.
Yeah, let's hear some.
Okay. All right. There's two guys at a bar.
Okay. Right?
Okay. And one of them is coming back from work.
Yeah, he's told this is a good one, man. This is funny.
So
this is so funny.
He's coming back from work, right? And he's complaining, you know, his wife's at home and, you know, she's, you know, just been just a beating all day long.
Right,
you know?
right.
And, you know, so he's taking some time at the bar to, you know, take a load off, right? And he's talking to his buddy. Right?
Okay.
And his buddy looks at him.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
Yeah.
What does he do?
I can't remember.
Dude.
What?
What's up? I mean, you got to show him how great you are. Remember that joke?
Bobby,
I remember this.
What's going on?
It's a good one, dude.
Oh. Okay, wait. Guys at the bar.
It's like my favorite one you tell.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Remember, dude? Come on. He's waiting to hear the punchline.
Is it right there on the tip of your tongue or something?
It is.
If you say a word, like, will it remind you or anything?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Pickle?
Pickle?
No, that wasn't it.
Apple?
Sponge?
Why don't you tell me that other joke? The one you were telling me in the hallway?
Yeah, dude, tell us another joke. Just tell us another joke.
Yeah, just tell us another
joke. Okay, all right.
This one's a quick one.
Okay. How do you make a handkerchief dance?
I don't know, man. I don't know. How do you make a handkerchief dance?
Choking,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Bobby, dude, what's up, man? How do you make a handkerchief dance?
Dying here.
Handkerchief. Remember, dude? That's one of my favorite ones.
I remember, too. Bobby, you just told me.
Yeah, come on. No.
Put a little
boogie.
Oh boy.
Wow.
That's tough.
It's you put a little boogie in it.
Yeah, that was it.
He's not really stepping up to his world.
I know, man.
Stuff.
I really thought.
So good.
Can you put Mike, can you put him out again?
Yeah. Bobby, take a nice deep breath for me. Sleep. Relax. Slide your eyes to close. Relax. Yeah, just rest your head.
Look at that. He's resting. Okay, now, I want to have him do impressions of each of us on the show.
Okay.
Can you do that?
What should we start out with?
I want to do me last.
How about let's do this? Let's have him do an impression, and we have to kind of figure out who it is.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
It's a game.
So you'll just say somebody on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I want to see him try everybody on
we'll
the show.
We'll have him do everyone.
Okay.
We'll just see who's first.
I love it. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Bobby, on the count of three, in a moment, you're going to sit up. You're going to be sitting in front of the microphone, and you're going to be someone here at the Mikey Show on the count of three. It can be anyone you want. We're going to try to guess who it is. The minute we guess who it is exact, you come out of that character and you become yourself again. So on the count of three, you're going to be someone here at the show. You're going to act like them, talk like them. You're going to be that person. And if for some reason that there's someone else in the room who really is that person, it's not even going to bug you. One, two, three. Eyes open, wide awake.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Not too much.
No. Oh.
Hey! What? Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Hey, is everything cool? Because you got a long time that you have to still be doing this show, so are you okay?
I'm getting a little sleepy.
You are?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how long have you been awake? I mean, I didn't ask what time you got up this morning.
Oh, since like... Like yesterday?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty sure you're going to be up for a long time.
Oh, pretty sure.
Yeah. Pretty sure you are, too. So, hey, what's the latest you've ever stayed up?
Oh, like 13 o'clock, maybe.
Okay. Hey! Well,
there is no 13
it's obviously
o'clock.
Obviously Ashley.
In Europe, there is.
Yeah, that's Ashley. Mean. It sounds like Ashley.
Why do I...
Excuse me.
Not bad.
What's going on, Bobby?
Not too much, man.
Bobby, take a nice deep breath and sleep. Relax all the way down. On the count of three, you're going to be someone else here at the Mikey Show. One, two, three. Wide awake.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, nothing.
Okay.
You've been doing, dude?
Dude, nothing much, man.
You feel all right?
Yeah, me and Bobby Kernels, we were out the other night.
Yeah? What'd you guys do?
We went out, we were trying to get numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, from chicks, right?
Yeah, chicks.
Yeah.
And,
Dude, you got to get rid of those dreadlocks. Those dreadlocks you have they're not looking right.
You don't
right.
like them?
They don't look right, dude.
Oh, dude.
They're just not looking right. I think you should try to, like, I don't know, cut it off or
no,
get a new...
No, dude, never.
Yeah.
Never.
Hey, dude, is it true... Hey, is it true that Eddie and the rest of the crew made you wear... To the Halloween boo ball, they made you wear.
Oh, don't even mention it.
Go Red Sox, right?
Didn't they dress you up as Derek Jeter?
Oh, when you say the name, man.
Just don't even like hearing the name,
I
huh?
No.
Does it make you crazy? Just hearing
bit,
that name?
A little bit. I wanted to go with Santa.
That's
right. I don't see what the problem with that one was.
Right, sure. I mean, I guess they were just being mean to you.
Yeah. They pick on me.
Yeah, I understand. I think that's Boston Rob.
That's right. Wide awake.
What's going on, dude?
Oh, no,
still feeling good, Bobby?
Yeah.
No, yeah? Feeling like you could do this for 22 more hours or whatever it is?
Bring it.
Yeah,
Bobby.
Almost 21.
Yeah. Sleep. All the way down. Relax. Man, he is just a slow one. It's good. All right, Bobby, on the count of three, you are going to be someone else here at the Micah Show on the count of three. One, two, three.
Hey, what's up, man?
How's it going, dude?
What's going on?
Hey.
Do you have any questions? Do you have any questions you want to ask, Eddie?
He's an awe.
What are you up to? Oh, nothing. I'm just, you know, I came back from washing my hands.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why were you washing your hands?
You know.
Got germs on them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Everywhere.
Has Ashley touched you yet?
Dude, I hope she doesn't.
Yeah?
I hope she doesn't.
What are you going to do if she does?
I'm going to take her head and put it in a vise.
Whoa! What is wrong with you?
Holy crap.
You're going to take her head
and slowly squeeze it.
All right.
And put it on a vise.
Nice.
Hey, I don't want to freak you out right now, dude. But that microphone that you are less than an inch away from is covered in germs.
No. Don't even say it.
I hate to tell you that. And I don't want to tell you this. I did this as a practical joke. You know when you open the door to come in here?
No. No, you didn't.
I had somebody lick the door.
Oh, no, you did not.
I had somebody lick the door.
Look at your hand.
Handle. Oh. Look at your hand. It's covered in somebody's saliva.
Man.
Sorry about that, dude.
No, that's it.
Tell me about your basement.